Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
One of the most heartbreaking findings in the World Workplace Conflict and Collaboration Survey was how often people said, if faced with this conflict again, I'd quit, or quit sooner. Or as one guy from Denmark warned, if you meet a psychopath at work, run. So how do you know if you should walk away from the conflict or even quit your job?
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to the show. Today, you are going to get some specific phrases you can use to figure out for yourself, should I leave this conflict? Is it time to quit? Or is there something else I need to try? Now, before we get into that, I have a guest in studio with me today. You've heard her before on previous episodes if you've been listening for a while. Karen Hurt, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I am so glad you're here. And I have invited Karen because one of these phrases, she has an incredibly poignant moment that I think will benefit all of us to hear from. And this is the final episode of season 16, which has been all about how to deal with workplace conflict as we have celebrated the launch of Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. And so with you here in studio, I got to ask, like, this has been an incredible launch. Book's been number one new release in different categories, that sometimes the Kindle, sometimes the paperback, audio, like every version has been doing well. What has been of this whole journey a good memory for you?
Well, I think it had to be the Association of Talent Development Global Conference. And when we were, first of all, we were speaking and we had 500 people jammed into the room knowing that this topic mattered. And then it was also the double take when we were in the expo and people would walk by our booth, not trying to make eye contact, because that's what you do when you walk through an expo, unless they're giving away champagne, which the people across the way were doing, right?
It's true.
But then they're like, wait, what? Workplace conflict? And you almost, it was like one of those movies where like they reversed back and said, tell me about this book. So
over and over again, that happened.
You know, so I think that is just, it's making me realize how helpful and useful this is and that people are looking for practical solutions.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that is very other-minded of you. Selfishly, I'm going to say that the Fifth Avenue Manhattan Barnes & Noble window display was also one of my coolest moments.
Well, that was hot too. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, it has been an incredible book launch. Thank you, listeners, for your support, for sharing the book, for reviewing the book. If you haven't done that already, this is your last chance in terms of listening to an episode. Obviously, you still have more chances, but today is your last episode where we're talking specifically about dealing with workplace conflict. So the name of the book, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict, What to Say Next to De-Stress the Workday, Build Collaboration, and Calm Difficult Customers. Over 300 powerful phrases. Today, we're just talking about, okay, how do you quit? When do you quit a conflict? Last episode, passive-aggressive people. We've talked about a lot of different things, but that's only 10 episodes, and there are 30-some chapters in this book and so many different phrases you can use. Phrases are going to help you collaborate, solve problems before they become bigger, and really just help you enjoy your life and work more. Karen, what's one of your favorite phrases?
Well, not to mention dealing with an acute conflict emergency, an ace that you can just look at the table of contents and say, oh my gosh, I'm having a problem. Let me look up this chapter to deal with it. So one of my favorite ones is it's a clarity goat. And it is really, what would a successful outcome do for you? And the reason that I like it is because we've been using it so frequently with our clients, and you can see people's eyes really light up and they're like, yeah, that is a better question than what does success look like? Although what does success look like is a very good question. This one really gets underneath to deeper motivations more quickly.
Absolutely. Definitely one of my favorites as well. All right. Well, it's time to pick up the book, paperback, ebook, and I know you're listening, so hey, if you want the audiobook, Karen and I are the ones narrating it.
And we had a guy who knows this real well tell us over the weekend, he said he'd already bought the paperback, and now he's listening to it, so it's like having us in the car next to him, and he's like, you know what, I think the humor pops more in the audio.
In the audio, yeah. And people have enjoyed it in the written, so the audio, maybe the humor's even better, so there you go. All right, well. We do try to have fun in the book because workplace conflict can feel so heavy and fraught and everything, but it doesn't have to be, and that's what it's all about. But today's topic is a little bit heavier. We're talking about, when do you quit a conflict? How do you know when it's time to go? And so we wrote the book to empower you to deal with conflicts better and faster, and that's true. And we really want to expand your range of choices beyond, oh, just quit. Because so often that's kind of the knee-jerk reaction. I got to say nothing or I need to walk away. And we're not naive, though. There are some situations that you can't save and some people who won't engage, even if you have that well-spoken goat phrase, one of the ones that we shared in the earlier episodes this season. Sometimes quitting the situation, the person, or even the job might be the best choice. So how do you know if you should walk away from that conflict or even quit your job?
You know, it's interesting because these questions to ask yourself that we're about to share with you, I had a reader write to me on Sunday and said, I'm reading this chapter and I feel so much better now. And so she explained why. And she said, because I did quit the conflict and I'm answering all these questions and I should have quit the conflict. And I was second guessing, maybe I quit too soon. She's like, no, because it was impacting my health. And it was doing all these questions, you know, that we're going to talk about here.
So they work is what you're getting at. They work. So if you are in this situation and you're feeling this way, definitely encourage you, really take the time to think through these questions. These are powerful phrases that you are going to start with yourself once again. Sometimes the most important conflict conversation is the one you have with yourself. So first phrase, have I tried? Now, this is a powerful phrase that's deceptively simple. Is it so easy to fire up? I've done this. You have an imaginary conversation in your mind. Frustration takes over. You dismiss the other person as toxic, hopeless, and not worth your time. But in all that thinking and stewing, you never actually had a conversation. So when you use powerful phrases, that all the different powerful phrases that we've shared with you over the course of these episodes, these last 9 episodes before this one, in the book, everything else, and attempt to address the workplace conflict, you always come out ahead. And this is critical because either the situation improves, and obviously that's a clear win, or you gain critical information that you didn't have before. That information you didn't have before is vital. Maybe your boss truly is an incompetent jerk who got promoted above their ability. But you don't know that until you have the conversation. You might suspect it. You might tell yourself a story, but you don't know it. Now, if you are in a super deep conflict, you've tried all the phrases and you're still there, it's possible there are also systemic issues at play you're not going to be able to solve, or a serious values clash that you shouldn't compromise on. But we know that if you don't try, nothing changes. So answer this one honestly. Give yourself the gift of a better outcome because the conflict improved or because you have certainty now about what you're facing. So if you're at a stalemate about something you can't leave alone, then it might be time for a carefully planned exit. And now let's talk about that.
Yeah, so another question to ask yourself is, what do I gain or lose by quitting? And, you know, as we were going through all of the verbatim comments in the World Workplace Conflict and Collaboration Survey, some of the stories felt like a scene from a movie where, like, well, then I'll just quit, right? And run off and storm off. But most real life is not like that. Most is some sleepless nights where you're making a checklist of pros and cons. And that is a very deliberate and important way to do that, you know, to think about what's at stake, you know, what do I lose, what do I gain, what do I need, and maybe you're going to quit, but not right away, and so you can make a longer plan once you make that decision, or maybe you look, and I've got too much to lose by quitting, I've invested too much here, and I'm continue to work on this situation.
And if you're feeling stuck as you try to have that conversation, find a friend, a mentor, a partner, or somebody in your life that you can talk it out with to really get through those pros and cons and look at them objectively. Then another question to ask yourself, is this conflict affecting other areas of my life? And this is definitely one I have had to ask myself before. If you're sick, exhausted, crying into the paws of your labradoodle every night, it might be time to remove yourself from the toxic situation. And does it always have to be a labradoodle?
I mean, it could be your rabbit. It could be staring, talking to the goldfish.
I guess the goldfish are good listeners. They really don't talk back, though, do they?
No.
I'm picturing, like, crying into the fur of your chinchilla for some reason. Mm. Not that Karen has a chinchilla. That's just what happened to.
No. You know, another one is, how do you feel about how you are showing up? And if the toxic behaviors or something else is rubbing off on you, and you are finding yourself showing up in conversations, in relationships, as somebody you don't like, that is an indicator. Yeah, because you have lost your grounding. Maybe you've lost your hold on your values. And so, you know, do you still like you? Do you still like being around you?
Yeah. And if you can't get centered again and that's not happening, you might need to remove yourself from that situation. All right. Yeah. What's this next one? Is conflict a pervasive organizational problem, or is it limited to one or two people?
So I'm thinking about the conversation with Ralph Kilman, too, that we had, he said we could call him this, which is the grandfather of conflict research. And, you know, he is one of the founders of the TKI assessment. And anyway, we had a really good conversation with him as we were preparing this book. And he talked about how so much conflict is not interpersonal conflict. Actually, when you peel it back, it's more likely an organizational conflict. People have competing priorities, competing goals. You're dealing with, trying to accomplish something that can't possibly both have the exact win that you want. And yet it is surfacing as an interpersonal conflict.
Totally. And if you are having that kind of conflict, check out some of the earlier episodes this season. We've got some powerful phrases to help you resolve those conflicts, those clarity issues, competing priorities, unclear norms, expectations, all those things. So let's see. Related to that, when you get into these systemic things, is there a pattern? Is this something that's bigger than just this one person? Or is this one person, is this constantly happening, or has this been just a one-time thing? You know, so if somebody's constantly stealing credit for your ideas or shutting you down in meetings, you might need to advocate for yourself. If it was one person having a bad day one time, not such a big deal. All right, so then I want to get to this final phrase that I think is critical, because when you look at the bigger picture of workplace conflict, so often we have something to say. And this question is there another way to accomplish my goal here? And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Karen, because you have got a great example of this in practice.
All right. So I was back in my corporate days, and I was an executive in customer service. And my team had spent the last 2 years conducting an absolute turnaround of all of our outsourced contact centers. So results had gone from like stinky to really strong. And we had so much to be proud of. And my phone rang, and it was my boss. And, you know, you gotta love it when your boss calls and things are going good. And she said, Karen, we gotta take my boss out to visit these centers so they can see all of this amazing work that we're doing. Now, I am really jazzed because she also says, and we get to take the corporate jet.
I have never been on a corporate jet, I gotta say.
So fancy. So I am very excited because my team is going to get the recognition that they really deserve. Our outsourced contact center partners are going to get the recognition that they really deserve. So the morning comes and the jet is as groovy as I imagined it was going to be. And, you know, there's breakfast, there's hard-boiled eggs, there's fruit, there's bagels, all the fixings. And then we land. And this shiny black car pulls into up on the tarmac, and we hop in. And before we know it, we are in the contact center, in the conference rooms, where the team leaders in a building that had no cafeteria, very little budget, had laid out another very fancy breakfast buffet. Now, my boss's boss, let's call her Jane, walks up to the buffet, looks around, picks up a hard-boiled egg, and goes, I must have salt. Now, here's where it goes sideways, because nobody has any salt. So everybody is scrambling around the call center, tapping the shoulders of people on the phone, saying, put the customer on hold. Do you have any salt? And finally, 20 minutes later, the salt situation resolved. We sit down for an operations review, which I am like, all right, here we go. This is where the recognition happens. And instead of what I was really hoping would be the recognition that this team so much deserved, it went sideways. And there was just shame, blame, intimidation, interrogation. Why not this? How about that? What's wrong with this? And it really was just terrible. So I am furious. And you can't see the look on my face, but I'm a very expressive person. And my boss looks at me and she says, Karen, if you care about your career, you are not going to say a word. Because she knew I wanted to say something to Jane. Now, I didn't say anything in that moment because there is a difference between courage and stupidity. But what I did next was walk to that back of that plane, open up my laptop, and start writing down every single word I believe about human-centered leadership and why it matters. On the way home from that, I called everyone on my team and the outsource center partners who had watched that incident. I apologized. And then that Sunday, I started my Let's Grow Leaders blog. And every single day for 14 months, I thought about and wrote about what it means to be a human-centered leader and practical ways to do that well. Share this with you because maybe if you are facing a workplace conflict, one question to consider is, what is this conflict telling you? What could it be telling you about you, your values, why they matter, about what you're meant to do next? Because that blog was the beginning. And it started showing up on all these best of lists. David and I met each other through the blog. We wrote our first book together. We fell in love. We got married. And now we have the pleasure and the privilege of working with human-centered leaders like you all over the world. So I want to leave you with this is, you know, why does what you have to say matter? And what's at stake if you stay silent? And how will you feel when you've been heard?
Thank you, Karen. I just think that is so important to think about the ways that we need to speak up, even if we can't speak up in that moment, that what you have to say truly matters. It's just so important. And have the conversation, if it's safe to do so, and not just a story in our head. In your case, you had more than the story in your head. You had somebody directly prohibiting you from that so that we're consistent in our recommendations here. All right. Well, this is already, it's hard to believe, but this is the conclusion now. We are at the end of season 16. Thank you for being a part of this, these 10 episodes here as we've launched Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. If you haven't already picked up your book, I don't know what you're waiting for, honestly, but it's time. What to Say Next to De-Stress the Workday, Build Collaboration, and Calm Difficult Customers. You know, well, if you're like our friend you mentioned earlier, you can get it hard copy and audio.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Get all the phrases all the time. Share it with other folks. And on that note, if you haven't already, I mentioned it a couple episodes, but if you haven't already gone to the website and picked up your collaboration, Karen, why don't you say it? Because I'm about out of words here.
Collaborative Conversation Starters. It's a collaborative guide to help read powerful phrases with your team. There's trainer resources, there's role plays, there's group discussion guides, and all kinds of fun, even goat templates.
You can do your own goats, have your team do your own goats. So it's a way to have a book group, have a conversation with your team members, all the activities, all the discussion guides, all there for you. It's free. Go to conflictphrases.com or you can go to letsgrowleaders.com, click on books, powerful phrases, you'll see it there. And then this is the last episode of the season. So I also want to make sure this is your last podcast chance. We got a couple more weeks in the offer here if you're listening in real time to get us into your organization with a live online virtual program. All it takes is 50 copies. Get 50 copies of the book, any combination you like. They can be all paperback, some, whatever you like, 50 of them. And Karen and I will do a program for however many folks you want to bring to the program for your company, your organization. It is the most cost-effective way to get us in for your company. All right. Well, I think that's all there is to say at this point. Anything else that you would add?
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. It's been a pleasure. You're always welcome. Anytime you want to make the trek down to the studio, I'm here. We're here. All right. That wraps up season 16. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for your reviews. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming and saying hi when you find us in person. But most of all, thank you for taking human-centered leadership seriously, for taking the tools, for taking these phrases and using them. That's what matters most. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.